Ephesians chapter 3. For the sake of time, we'll commence a reading of the verse 13. Well, the Apostle Paul has been showing these Ephesians how that they have been brought into the whole privilege of God's redeemed people and the gospel is for all men everywhere, and that he has especially been given that opportunity and privilege of being the apostle to the Gentiles. So we'll commence our reading at the verse 13 of Ephesians chapter 3. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. We know the Lord will bless the public reading of his holy, infallible, inspired word to all of our hearts. And it is especially those words in verse 15, as time would permit this morning, that we would like to consider in our message as we bring our meeting to a close today. The whole family in heaven and in earth. And let us, with these words on our lips already and read in our hearing, ask for the help of the Lord. Amen. The whole family in heaven and earth. There are many that imagine how much better life would be for them if only they had been born into a different family. And many young people, especially, I'm sure, would fantasize and imagine and dream, oh, how much better my life would be personally if only I'd been born into the family of someone rich. Oh, if I had been born into a family where money was no obstacle or hindrance. Oh, how much better my life would be. I would have no financial concerns or troubles. I could just have whatever I wanted. Some imagine, oh, if I was only born into the family of someone who was very powerful, who had all kinds of authority, then I would be respected because I was part of their family. And people would take notice of me for that reason. Some say, oh, if I was only born into the family of someone famous, oh, I would be noticed. And people would know who I was as I walked down the street and as I walked into school. I was born into the family of someone famous. Imagine how much better their life would be. Into the family of someone of a king or a queen. And imagine that if only I was born into that family. I would have a sense of destiny in my home, in my family, in my life. If only I was born into the family of a king or a queen. And I'm sure that sometimes some young people, but maybe older people too, imagine how much better life would be if only they had been born into a different home and a different family. Well, you know, many of the most unhappy families, and many of those who grew up to be the most unhappy of individuals, come from families of those who we've just been describing. And you know, because you maybe have and had a different family background, it doesn't necessarily mean that your life would be all the more happy. You see, happiness really doesn't come with anything that we have without. Happiness comes rather from what we have more often within. The psalmist could say, blessed or happy. Happy is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. You know, happiness is really having that peace with God and that knowledge that the Lord is our God and our friend and our shepherd and the one who will never leave us nor forsake us. Paul could say, godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment. I have learned, Paul could say, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. And, you know, as we have said, it would certainly be nice to have many of those things. But, you know, happiness doesn't come from these things. But while you may dream on and still imagine, if only I was born into a different family. You know, the Bible speaks here in our reading and in our text this morning of a real family. A family into which all in our service this morning can indeed belong to. And all who belong to this family, it is the family of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. All who belong to this family have more than any other family in the whole of this world could have. And very briefly this morning, as time would permit, I would like us to consider this family that Paul speaks about. The family, the whole family in heaven and earth that is named here. And let us very briefly this morning notice three very simple things about the family spoken of here. First of all, the family name. This family has a name. And there is a family name here of whom he speaks. The whole family in heaven and earth is named. This family that the apostle is speaking of here has a family name. And you have a family name into which you're born today. And some people like their family name. Some bear their family name with honour. And many maybe have the surname of Kelvin or of Knox or of Livingstone. And they bear that name with honour and can look back to some of those who have borne that family name with distinction, like a great missionary, David Livingstone, or Florence Nightingale, and others who are glad of their family name. Some, you know, bear their family name with dishonour and reproach. And someone has brought that family into reproach. And we think of the family name of Hitler. And what an awful thing it would be to be given the name Hitler. And an awful reproach to have to bear that name in the world. Well, you know, this family that we have before us has a name. And this family is named after the Lord Jesus Christ, in verse 14, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." You see, the Lord Jesus Christ has put His name upon all who are in His family. And He is the one who permits all in His family to bear His name. He is the one who is the founder of the family. He is the one who has purchased this family with His own precious blood. He is the one who sustains the family as the head is to the body, as the vine is to the branches. He is the one who is the very sustainer and the source of life to the family. And the whole family depends upon Him for its existence, for its fruitfulness, for its power and its strength in the world. God hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name, Philippians tells us, which is above every name, at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And all who bear the family name have the benefits of all the privileges that that family entail. And Peter could preach that neither is there salvation in any other. For neither is there salvation in any other. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And this name brings with it salvation and brings with it the benefits of all that the Lord Jesus has come to do. And what a privilege it is to be able to be called a member of this family. To have the privilege of bearing that name and having the benefits of God's grace and God's mercy and God's salvation. But bearing this name in the world will sometimes and will oftentimes bring reproach. And not all who hear that we are part of God's family, and you tell those in the world that we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ and we're part of His family, will understand or will appreciate us because we identify with that family. And oftentimes as we stand up for that family name and that family identity in this world, will often bring reproach. And the Lord Jesus Christ said when He was here on earth, "Whosoever shall confess Me before men, him will I confess before My Father which is in heaven." And He expects us to confess Him before men in this world, before those that we rub shoulders with in the street, before our neighbours, before our friends in school, before our work colleagues, before our family members. And we need to confess the Lord Jesus as the one who is the one that has given us the name in the family. So there is the name of the family here spoken of. There are the characteristics of the family. Our time is moving on. Every family may have different members in it. There may be different children in the family. There may be great differences in children. And yet, while children differ in so many ways, there are often family resemblances, family characteristics, that those outside the family can clearly recognize that are characteristic of that family. I come from a family of 9 children. And some of us are blonde and some of us are dark. But you know, I've had those who are speaking and have met one of the family, and I think of my sister who's fair-haired, and I would say looks nothing alike, but I've heard those say, well, I just knew that she was your sister. It's clear for them to behold that there's those family characteristics, maybe the way words are said or the things you do, but there are family characteristics that identify each family. And you know, it is true also of God's family. There are family characteristics. Now, while there are great differences in God's family, differences in the whole family, as far as their talents, as far as their abilities are concerned, as far as age and temperament and maturity is concerned, and while all this is true, there are also, and there ought to be, family resemblances. Family characteristics that identify clearly that we belong to the Lord's household, the Lord's family. You see, we all should have in this family the same Father. And we have all that are part of God's family that right and that privilege of crying, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. And we've all been adopted into that family and can all call God our Father. You see, we all have the same nature. And we're born again, as Peter writes, born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. With a new nature. And it is the nature of God dwelling within us. A family characteristic. Family nature. We should all be characterized with that same desire after holiness. For God said, be ye holy, for I am holy. And there ought to be that striving, that desire of the new nature within the family. Striving after purity. Desiring to be more and more like our God and like our Redeemer and like our Savior. There ought to be another family characteristic. We ought to all be governed by the same rules and directive, namely the Word of God. Jesus said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. And we can manifest our love to him by observing his word and adhering to his truth. We ought to have a family characteristic of having the same appetite. The spiritual appetite should all be the same and should characterize all the family. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. There ought to be that hunger, that thirsting, that craving after that spiritual nourishment for growth. And that spiritual food that we would grow, develop, mature as those that are members of God's family. We ought to have the same spiritual occupation. Every member of God's family ought to have this characteristic that we should be desiring to win the lost, to seek out those who are far from God and bring them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That ought to be a family trait and a family characteristic. Desire to win the lost for the Lord. All the members of family have the same privileges. Every member of this family of God have access to the throne of God in prayer. Have the privilege of crying, Our Father, which art in heaven. Have the privilege of seeking God's help and God's power in our lives. God's aid and God's eye and God's ear to be open to our our need and to our cry. All in God's family should have the same anticipation as far as eternity is concerned. We all have the same inheritance. All have a place reserved in heaven for us. All should be characterized by that same love that the Lord Jesus Christ said, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you have love one for another." Here is a clear directive and a clear signal and a clear indicator to the world. Jesus said that you're members of my family. "By this shall all men know you're my disciples, that you've love one for another." This should be a family resemblance, a family characteristic that should identify us as members of God's family. Finally, in closing, we have the unity of God's family. We noted the name of God's family. We noted the characteristics of God's family. Well, in closing, we have the unity of God's family. It says here, "Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." We have one spiritual whole family spoken of by the apostle. Part of that whole family is in earth. And part of that whole family, Paul says, is in heaven. There are not two families. One family on earth and one family in heaven. The Lord says there is one whole family. Part of it still on earth. Part of it has moved on to glory in heaven. You see, the Apostle Paul was one who seemed to be very much occupied with heaven itself. He had that unique privilege of seeing into heaven itself. He talked about being caught up into the third heaven. There's three heavens. There is the heaven that we see and the birds fly in. There is the heaven that the stars are in, the space. The third heaven is paradise and glory itself. And Paul had that privilege of being in heaven itself and seeing into heaven. And he could see the unity of the family so clearly. And he speaks of that family as a whole family. The whole family in heaven and earth. There's not two families. There's only one family. A great poet tells in his poem how he met a little girl. And the little girl of 8 that he was speaking to, he asked her how many brothers and sisters she had. And she responded by saying, "Two of us are living in a place a long way off. And two of us are lying in the church graveyard." And she said, "I live with mother, and two are gone to sea, so there are 7 of us." The poet tells how he said to her, "If there's two of you in lying dead in the church graveyard, then that would mean that there's only 5 of you. There are not 7. But the little girl resisted all attempts of the great poet to suggest that those two brothers, a brother and a sister that were in the graveyard were dead to her. For her, that they had moved on to heaven, and that did not mean to her that they were dead. True it was that she did not any longer see them, could not any longer play with them or talk to them. But because they were in heaven, they were not dead to her. They were still her brother and sister. And you see, the little girl had it right. The stream of death runs, as it were, as a veil between God's family. Part of that family is still on this side of the veil, this side of the river. But the other part has crossed the river and is on the other side. Still one family. Still alive. Far more alive. D.L. Moody, the great evangelist and preacher of another century, as he got up to preach one time, he said, "Someday you will read in your newspapers, D.L. Moody is dead." He said, "Do not believe it, for I will be very much alive." He said, "I was born of the flesh in 1837. I was born of the Spirit in 1855. That which is born of the flesh will die, but that which is born of the Spirit will never die." D.L. Moody has passed over to the other side, but he's still very much alive. He's still part of God's whole family still. But he's moved to the other side, as it were, of the river. And God has only one family. And the family someday will be fully and totally reunited in Emmanuel's land. We're still here on earth struggling on against the world, the flesh and the devil. A day will come when we will be reunited with our loved ones on the other side. And you know, true it is, as we get on in years, and when you're a youth, you cannot think of heaven too clearly, because all you know and all you love are here on earth. But you know, as those who die in Christ, and we get on in years, and we see one of our loved ones leaving this side of the river and crossing to the other side of the river, we long to see them again. And the longer we live on this side, as it were, of the river, and the more we go on in years, the more we know that live on the other side of the river. And we long more and more to see them again. And it almost seems as if we know more as time goes on the other side than we know here on this side. But what a day it will be when the whole family again is reunited in the glory land. I'm glad I'm part of this family. God's family. God's redeemed family. It all began for me when I came as a little child of 7 years of age. At a children's meeting, I simply and personally cried, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, save me. Come into my heart." I said, "Lord Jesus, come in today. Come in to stay." And what a day it was when I became a member of God's family. A wonderful day. Maybe you're here this morning. You're not a member of God's family. You would love to have that peace. You would love to have that assurance that heaven indeed is your home too. Thomas asked the Lord Jesus, "How can we know the way to heaven?" Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And he is the way. And I'm glad you can join and be a member of God's family and have that blessed hope, that blessed anticipation of meeting the Lord and all those we love and know that have died in Christ. We're going to sing in closing this morning.